Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't ready for that in my ear. I was sitting here farting around doing some other things, and boom, here you come. I love that.
It scared me.
Well, welcome to the show. How you doing, Sean, down in Dallas, Tejas? You there today?
I do very well. How about you?
What scared you? You said something scared you? Was it the feed that all of a sudden you started playing and all of a sudden we were live? That scared you?
Yeah, because I forgot that I had, you know, I was checking to make sure the feed was up on the internet, and I forgot I turned the volume up to hear it, and when that hit, it scared me.
Oh, it hit you loud, huh?
Yes.
I should point out that you're sitting in a studio with a lot of monitors.
Yes.
And if you've got them cranked up, it could blow you out of the chair.
And that's exactly what happened.
I got some great music to send you that you can use to blow you out of the chair.
As long as it's high-energy dance music, we're good.
High-energy dance music? I don't know what that is.
Trance, new energy. It's pretty rough, and it's kind of like the rock and roll heavy metal of dance music.
How about just good heavy metal rock and roll?
No.
Yeah.
I moved from that. No, you know what? I could use some of that. I reminisce like you do sometimes.
Yeah, my kids are bummed. This is the last season of American Idol. I'm like, woo-hoo. I don't have to watch Ryan Seacrest anymore.
I have a funny story about American Idol. American Idol started the same year I went to school for broadcasting.
You know, that show's been on a long time, and I can see why young kids, you know, when you get older, time flies, and you get in that age time warp thing, right, where you look back 10 years, and it's like, oh, you know, I was 50, I was 40, now I'm 50. It's really kind of no difference.
Yes.
So to you, it seems, oh, it's that weird, you know, age life thing.
Yes.
But to somebody that's 20, they were 10. You know, to somebody that's 10, they've never known anything but.
Exactly.
And both of my children have never known anything but being able to watch American Idol since they were born. And to me, that's shocking because I remember when American Idol first started and I thought, that girl's in second place. She's awful. Who's listening to her? It was crazy, you know. Hey, you were given. We had some fun on the show a couple days back. I was talking about my Fry boots. You remember that?
Yes. Did you get them yet?
Oh, I got them. I got them stretched out. Did I not tell you I got them stretched out?
Well, you told me you got them stretched out. You were kind of upset because you wanted them.
Yeah, it was $2. $2 and a half is what the guy told me. I wanted them the same day. That's right. No, it wasn't $2.50. It was $2.50. It was $2. Wow. And a half. Well, that's what it was. $2.50.
That's a throwback but right there.
Take a listen to this email I got today at 3:05 in the morning. Honest to God. Came from Johnny Dahl. It's titled, Dude, Thank You for the Talk About Fry Boots. Mark, I wanted some. No local dealer. Online looked awesome, but pricey and no wide sizes. Had to drop the idea. But if you had a pair of regular width stretched with a happy result, I'm going to go for it. I think my 92-year-old father has some of those stretchers in a closet, too.
Wow.
He, by the way, carried a BAR in Okinawa. Now, a BAR, to those of you who might not know, is a Browning automatic rifle.
Nice.
A monstrous rifle, a very heavy but incredibly effective rifle. And I'll tell you a little story about the lost Marine here in a couple minutes, because that when I hear BAR, the BAR, it reminds me of a close friend of mine who passed away but fought in Korea. But I'll continue with this. I wanted some. This is, dude, thank you for the talk about Fry boots. I wanted some. No local dealer. Online looked awesome but pricey and had no wide sizes. Had to drop the idea. But if you had a pair of regular width stretched with a happy result, I'm going to go for it. I think my 92-year-old father has some of those stretchers in a closet, too. He, by the way, carried a BAR in Okinawa. Some reenactors had display tables of World War II gear and guns at the SAC Air Museum south of Omaha a few years ago, and they let him hold an old BAR. Could see a lot of memories were coming back. He said 1911s were getting tossed into latrines after the surrender. Anyway, I appreciate the Fry boot discussion. Good use of airtime, I say. So I really appreciated that email.
That's pretty cool.
So I responded back and told him, don't be afraid of the Fry boots, and I told him exactly how to buy them. knock them up one size above your sneaker shoe, your regular shoe. For example, I've got a fairly small feet, but a wide foot. I wear 8.5s. Some people look at me and go, dude, how you walk on them? You got feet down there? So I buy Fry boots. I buy 9.5s. And you get the medium, and then you put them in a stretcher. It's that simple. Don't be afraid to buy them, man. I'm telling you, they are pricey. But it's one of those deals. Look, everybody knows a $10 sweater is stitched a whole heck of a lot better than a $2 sweater.
That's true.
And these things will last you forever. They will last you forever. And they're actually not that bad prices considering boots and the top quality. And, I don't work for Fry. They don't advertise on the show. I'm not pushing their stuff. I'm just telling you I've got a pair and I love them. And it's just a piece of Americana. They've been making these boots, benchcraft, handmade, since about the 1860s. And they're around for a reason. So I got two pairs of these kickers. I'm going to have to get me another one.
You know, I'm going to have to get some now. I was thinking about getting some of those or some tactical boots. I think I'm going to get both.
You know, the leather of these boots, these boots are so high quality. You can wear them all day, take them off, and stick your face into the boot and smell the leather. And
wow.
Not your foot.
Now,
I mean,
that's true.
They reek of the leather. You know, my kids love the smell of the leather. So you know the Fry boots are sitting in the room. You walk in, you can smell the leather.
That's a true boot right there.
That is a true boot, and they look great with an outside-the-waistband leather holster, too, I might add.
Now, let me ask you a question.
You can dress these boots up if you're carrying your firearms, yes.
I want to move back to the feet thing. You have 8 what?
Well, it depends on the manufacturer. I've got anywhere from 8.5 to 9 shoe size.
So you
got to bump the shoes. The reason I say that is because you need to go up a size.
So you can slope your foot in that boot comfortably.
The deal is because it's very high quality leather.
Yeah.
And, you know, now these, I got the, okay, here we go with the Fry boots. 8R is the model that I got. And it's not the high boot that goes up above the calf like you'd wear on your horse.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about half.
About half calf.
And if you have a high instep like I do, and the instep being the top of your foot.
Yeah.
I have a high arch. That's why I have a high instep. Okay. I don't like wearing flat-footed shoes. That's why I can't wear Converse sneakers or anything like that, because they're flat-footed.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm walking around like a dopey clown. Here I come.
Do you have the, put the makeup on and then with the big eyes and the big...
No, clowns are creepy anyway, but I mean, feel like that when you're in flat, I can't wear flat shoes like that. So when you have a high instep, you got to... You know, that instep's got to be stretched up a little bit so your feet can go into the boot and make the turn. And it's very, very difficult to do. And let me tell you something. Trying to get these things on, for me anyway, when they first show up,
yeah,
man, oh, man, it's like running around the block. You get winded trying to put them on.
Wow.
You know, so for me, I already know what the routine is. I don't even bother trying. I mean, I'll try when they come on because they're handmade. Each pair is going to be just a little bit different than the other. Each boot's going to be different than the other. But I already know the routine. So that's what I told Johnny. Thanks for the email. Go get them boots. And I even sent him a picture of both of my pairs. Man, I was all excited about that email. I felt like I was talking about a new gun. Let me go to that BAR, by the way. Many, many years ago in Tampa, Florida, those of you listening on AM 860, The Answer, maybe AM 930, The Answer, those of you who know Tampa very well, I'm going back to about 1992. When you went up Bruce B. Downs Boulevard in Tampa, Florida, you stopped at a neighborhood called Tampa Palms. And anything north of that, or I should say anything east of that, going up Bruce B. Downs, was country. There was nothing there. Maybe one or two neighborhoods out in the country. Now it's all built up and it's all part of, darn near downtown Tampa. But back then there wasn't. There was a great neighborhood and a restaurant there called Goodfellas, and it was a neighborhood bar and restaurant. And that was the only place to go after I moved to Tampa. Didn't know a whole lot of people. And I wound up hanging out with a guy I worked with up at that place called Goodfellas. And I met this old guy. His name was Patrick. We used to call him Sarge. And Sarge, bless his heart, passed away a few years ago. Lived to be 85. Guy smoked 3 packs of Lucky Strikes a day.
Wow.
He was a real deal. He was a retired Marine, fought in Korea, and the stories he used to tell about himself and that BAR he carried was absolutely incredible. And one of them was the story of a lost Marine. He was out on patrol, got separated. and had to find, it took him 3 days to find his way back. And he survived it. And he was telling the stories. He says, you've never seen anything like it. Wave after wave after wave of Chinese coming over the hills. And the only thing that kept him alive was that BAR. And it, really incredible stories. Patrick passed away. Old Sarge passed away. God bless him. God rest his soul. A true American hero. But he used to show up at Goodfellas. He'd walk in there about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I heard. I never got there that early. He'd set down 3 packs of Lucky Strikes, and he'd sit there and drink beer all day long. All day long. Smoke those packs of Lucky Strikes, then go home. He was there every day. Guy lived to be about 85 years old, and he was a true American hero. And every time I see BAR or Browning Automatic Rifle, I think Old Sarge. So we're thinking about you now, Sarge. God bless you. True American hero. Thanks for everything you did for your country, our country. We'll be back right after this.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win 1 of 4 brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number 1 of 4 guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's 1 of 4 guns.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Hey, 880 The Biz, Wall Street, The Biz, 880, AM 880 The Biz, Miami, Florida, baby. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense begins airing down there on Monday, which is a beautiful thing. And then on the 14th, they begin airing my monster weekend broadcast, 880 The Biz in Miami. Yeah, we'll be filling your prescription for freedom down there. I know we have a lot of listeners down there in Miami that pick up the show, you know, on live feeds or pick it up at head over to different stations and listen. Today's technology is beautiful. You can do those things. But yeah, you'll be able to pick us up now on 880 AM, 880 The Biz down there. Daytime show beginning Monday, and the following week on the 14th will be the big Sunday show. And the 14th is going to be a fun broadcast, by the way. I will be down in Sarasota, Florida, at the Herald Tribune newspaper headquarters in downtown Sarasota, broadcasting on the 14th. We will have a room full of people. I spoke with Lee Williams today. We're going to have some wounded veterans in the audience. We're going to mic some of them up, and we're going to have just a flat-out great time down at the Sarasota Herald Tribune, broadcasting Armed American Radio to the nation. A couple hundred radio stations available to millions across the country. So, You can, in fact, head over to thegunwriter.com and you can see the ad that they've got up. It's going to be running in the Sarasota Herald Tribune. You can see my mug up there if you want to know what I look like. You picture me in fry boots. Hey, we were talking about, you know, I get a little nostalgic there talking about those old days back in Tampa, Florida. I was talking about Sarge, Korean War vet. He was an amazing guy. Let me tell you something about this man. You know, America, this was a real man. This man went through hell and back in Korea, and we used to sit and listen to the stories, and he would fascinate us, talking to us, telling us about some of the things he went through, and he would always make a little hand motion, twist his hand, he'd point his index finger out and his pinky finger and his thumb up, and he'd twist his arm when he'd talk about his BAR, and every time he would say BAR, I'd say Browning Automatic Rifle, and he'd look at me and smile, then take a puff off that Lucky Strike. You know what those Lucky Strikes are? Sean, can you bring your mic back? Those Lucky Strike cigarettes I was talking about?
Yeah.
This guy was smoking. Those are those non-filters in the white pack.
Oh, yeah. I used to smoke Camels like that and Lucky Strikes.
Wow. You guys were hardcore smoking those non-filters. He would literally set three packs of those up on the bar.
Wow. That's.
And he would order a Budweiser. He drank Budweiser draft beer. Ask me if you wanted a Bud Light. He'd throw you off your bar stool.
Oh, my goodness. And
he'd sit there and drink. Yeah, he'd drink Budweiser draft beer one right after the other. He'd be there till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning with the kids.
Wow.
So I heard.
Well, you know, I want to go back to the name of the bar. What was the name of the bar?
Place was called Goodfellas. Yeah, it was a place called Goodfellas. A lot of people listening in Tampa down there probably remember those days. But that area has exploded since then. There's nothing remotely similar. I'll tell you how cool that neighborhood is. Pete Sampras lived in that neighborhood.
Wow.
He used to show up there from time to time.
That is too cool.
Yeah, that was back when he was playing tennis.
Yeah.
And he lived over there in Tampa Palms. And you'd see Pete would come walking in from time to time. That was kind of neat. But, God rest his soul, a true American hero. And I was telling you, he was a real man. You'd shake his hand. You'd introduce him. You'd walk in and sit down, and he'd say, "How you doing, young man?"
Wow.
And he'd grab your hand. He'd shake your hand, and he'd crush it.
Wow.
In his mid-70s. He was strong as an ox.
You know, we're missing that in America.
We are missing
that. That's a John Wayne type of guy.
Yeah, he was a real deal. John Wayne could have learned a few things
from
old Sarge. No question about it. Hey, last night I took a seminar I was telling you about yesterday for my local law enforcement, small town local law enforcement. And it was an active shooter seminar, what to do. And these seminars, if your local law enforcement are putting these on, these are the alert seminars. Homeland Security has a lot to do with this, stuff like this. And local law enforcement tailors it to where you live. It's called the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training, CRACE, Citizen Response to Active Shooter Event. It's what was put out and taught by the ALERT, which is the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training out of Texas State University. And it's essentially, in a nutshell, we're going to go over some of this in the next two segments with Rob Pincus, who will be calling in at the bottom of the hour. But it educates you. You know, it was like sitting in on my own radio show for the last few years, quite frankly, because it was everything we talk about on this program. Denial. What have I told you about denial? Denial will get you killed. You cannot deny evil exists, which is exactly what the officers informed us yesterday. Evil. So it was good to hear local law enforcement repeating the things we talked to you about for years on this program. Let me give you an idea. They talk about avoid, deny, defend. And we've touched on some of this with Pincus in the past. Avoid by leaving. Of course, the best way to win a gunfight is to avoid the damn thing altogether, isn't it? Right? Don't find yourself in one. Get out. I use a personal example. I believe I've told this many times on the program. I'll tell it now because it's a good example. I can remember, again, Tampa residents down on Fletcher Avenue over by Interstate 75, old Shell station over there. Still there. Over by Lettuce Lake Park. Get off the interstate, pulled in there one day to get some gas. And a domestic dispute broke out on the other side of the pump. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, significant other, whoever they were, started going at it. Started to get a little bit, appeared that it was going to get a little bit physical. It started spilling over into other lanes and it began moving in my direction. I was carrying a firearm. I put the pump back up. Got out of the area, maintained a safe distance, and monitored it to determine whether or not I needed to call 911. And that's just flat-out good advice. If you're carrying a firearm, you don't know what's happening there. That's not your place to get involved. Not at that moment in time. Be the best witness you can be. Avoid that confrontation if you can do it at all costs. And that's what they teach. The second is deny. Of course, if leaving is impossible, then deny the killer access to you. Their advice, and I'm quoting now, is to keep distance between you and the source. Lock doors, create barriers at the access point or doorways, or by placing obstacles in the way of the attacker. Turn off the lights, remain out of sight, silence all cell phones. Think you can do that? You wouldn't believe the stupidity of some people. They have to finish an email before they get away, as if it's important. Where they have to say goodbye on the phone before they hang up. Why? Because they're in denial. They can't believe they're hearing gunfire. This can't be happening. These are the things we talk about on the show that were reiterated to us in the active shooter seminar yesterday. Create a situation where the attacker has to take one hand off their weapon to clear obstacles. This gives you an opportunity to move to the next level, which is defend. Which is defend. And defend, of course, you've got to realize the attacker is trying to kill you. If avoid and deny have failed, you must be prepared to defend yourself or die. This is life and death. And as the officer pointed out yesterday, it's not about just survival. It's about winning. It is about winning at all cost. Hiding will only delay the inevitable. Prepare to fight for your life and or the innocent lives around you, and you have to be aggressive. Rally support from others. Don't fight fair. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as a fair fight, right? Try to surprise the attacker. Grab the gun. Direct it away from others. Attack the eyes and face. Fight like your life depends on it because it does. Win at all cost. Injured does not equal dead. When we come back, we'll talk about this in detail, and I'll tell you a little bit about the perspective we got in the active shooter seminar down south of the Mason-Dixon line. You won't get up north. We'll be right back.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily, one word, .com, download your 100% free guide. defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says The Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Good heavens, these breaks are coming quick. I'm trying to tweet something out here. Got at Rob Pincus is joining us on the air right now. Let's go right to him because the hour, this is the fastest hour in radio. Rob Pincus, I'm tweeting that you're on the show with me right now, but the break came too quick, so I'm going to type while I'm talking to you. How are you today? Still got Rob, Sean? I see. There he is. Rob, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good, man. I was just getting back from the Western HQ. I walked in about the time the show started and had a couple days out at PDN headquarters with our friends at Gander Mountain and Viridian Green Laser and the whole team at the offices and the production studio. So it was a good, really productive couple of days, and now I'm home for the weekend.
Good for you. Welcome home. Yeah, Viridian Green Laser, I've got a call I need to place to those guys. Former Air Marshal Peter Johnson made some introductions with me out at SHOT with those guys and tried to call me a little bit ago, and I was unable to take the call. So it looks like we're going to be talking to some of the same people. Hey, Rob, we've got some pretty exciting news. You and I were bannering this around for quite some time, but we're starting to get serious now about putting together our next book, aren't we?
Yeah, I am excited about it. I think both of us had a busy 2015 and the best of intentions to move forward with that sequel to Lessons from Unarmed America. But 2016 looks like it'll be the year, even though we probably won't be any less busy.
Well, we're just going to work through it. I think in my case, the routine is down now to the point that I'm able to begin looking at doing some of those time-consuming interviews and some of that, because it is. We've got to interview the people. So what we're talking about doing is putting out a follow-up to our book, Lessons from Unarmed America, which I tell the stories of individuals who, at the worst moment of someone's life, and I talk to them, and we translate it onto paper for you. And Rob comes in and analyzes it and breaks it down, and it's a very, very difficult thing to do. Monday morning quarterbacking, the worst moment, arguably the worst moment of a human being's life, is tough to do, Rob, and I don't envy it, but boy, you got some rave reviews on it because you did an outstanding job on it.
Well, you know, it's how we learn. It's one of the best ways we can learn about what mistakes not to make, or maybe to get people thinking about what they would do if they were in certain situations. And then, of course, you know, my job is to tell people what I think they should do, or give them the best advice I can as a personal defense, self-defense instructor. And, you know, the real credit belongs to the people that survive these events, whether they're armed or unarmed. And you, of course, wrote the book about lessons from armed America. And then we wrote the book Unarmed America. And the people that give us those stories, the people that volunteer to let you talk about it and then let me, you know, again, kind of take it apart and critique it and say this was good, this could have been better, and maybe this was bad, this is a bad decision. That, you know, that's brave, and that's really cool that they let us do that, and that's how we were able to share these stories. And I think you've got some great ones on board for the next book already.
Yeah, I think we're looking. We've already got our first three picked, and I guess we can just let the cat out of the bag since we're talking about it and give people an idea of what they're going to see. We have not yet decided whether we're going to pull stories from across the country or if we're going to narrow them down geographically a little bit. You know, we see a lot of individual acts of heroism in individual cities. For example, let's take Detroit. You know, I read every day stories of people in Detroit, lawful concealed carry, law-abiding citizens who use firearms to defend themselves across the city of Detroit every day. Now, that narrows down a little bit the geography if we put together, oh, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Let's just say it was Lessons from Armed Detroit, for example. Maybe we move to the state. Maybe we take Michigan and we put another 50 books out like you suggested over 5 years, Rob. So those are some of the things that we're working on or looking at anyway, right?
I think so. And I think you know, kind of a building a community around sharing these stories is really important. You know, it's and plenty of magazines and plenty of places have done that, you know, kind of like here's the lessons from the street or here's the it happened to me kind of thing. But I think the ability to get these stories into one place, get them into one collection of books, let people, you know, not only for their own education, but a lot of people have told me that they've taken lessons from Unarmed America and given it to people they care about, people who may not be motivated in terms of self-defense or maybe not even aware of how important, you know, their own safety and their responsibility for their own safety is. And reading the stories and learning those lessons has motivated some people to take some pretty dramatic changes in their life in terms of how much accountability they're willing to take and preparation they have.
There's no better form of education when you're talking about this lifestyle than hearing from those individuals in their own words, really, that I merely take their stories and put them on paper and translate it for you onto paper the way they want it written, the way it actually happened. Remember, when we tell these stories, I don't make this stuff up. We sit and we interview these people at great length. We take these recordings, we go through, and then when I'm done with that story, the individual that this happened to has the final say. That's exactly the way it happened. And I got to tell you, Rob, a couple times people have come back to me and said, man, oh, man, hearing that took me right back to that day. So the stories that you read are the real deal, and they're frightening when you look at it in that perspective. So, yeah, it's not easy to go in and do what you did. I don't envy you doing that, but you did an exceptional job. And you're right. The real bravery here are the people who are allowing us to tell their story to you so that you can benefit and learn from it. So we'll let you know how that progresses. And I'm thinking too, Rob, that we might even put together, we're talking about this on air, which is kind of fun to do. We're considering re-releasing the other book with a couple additions to it, and maybe putting a some type of DVD or CD or something, or, you know, I don't know what you put in there anymore. Do people still listen to CDs? Maybe we put in some type of thumb drive, whatever the case may be, of you and I actually talking about some of these stories and kind of bringing them to life with sound.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think the whole community has shown a great deal of interest in these types of stories and the lessons that can be learned from them, and any way that we can find it to get that out there. And, you know, if people are listening, obviously, if you have a story that you want to share with Mark, you know, get in touch with us through the social media or at the armedamericanradio.com website, and we'd be glad to hear all the stories and find the ones that we can really teach the best lessons with and reach those people with.
That was the next point. We'll close it out with this. If you have a story that you'd like Rob and I to look at, if you want to talk with me about it, if you'd like your story to be in our next book, very simple, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Send me a brief synopsis, your name, and I will contact you. We will go through the interview process, and your story could very well wind up in the book. We're looking for about 7 more for this particular book, and then we will continue to build these as the series increases. But we're really looking forward to being able to get this in your hands. Rob, I took a seminar from local law enforcement last night. Took my wife and kids. It was an active shooter seminar. And I'm sure you're very familiar with it. I know you're very familiar with it because you and I have talked about this many times in the past, and it was quite refreshing to see and hear from local law enforcement during this seminar everything that you and I have talked about on this program for years. And it was refreshing to see that and to hear that. And this is the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training. They were teaching the alert craze, citizen response to active shooter events. What I was talking about before you came in, I'll give a brief synopsis, and then we'll take it over for you for the remainder of the program. Don't be in denial. Rob, we talked about how evil exists. You and I wrote about it in the book. We have to accept that evil exists. We cannot deny that fact. To deny it is to suffer from it and to be eventually attacked by it. Avoid. Avoid by leaving the area. Deny, if possible. We're not talking about denial. We're talking about denying access to yourself so that the armed attacker cannot get near you. And then third is defend. And to go through the defense, there's multiple. They offer multiple suggestions. Rob, what was very refreshing to me was the firearm played a huge role here in Georgia during this seminar, a huge role. And I would bet my bottom dollar that you wouldn't hear that if the same seminar were being taught in Chicago or Boston.
Yeah, you know, sadly, it really is a regional issue in terms of how likely someone is to be armed. Of course, we know that there are some states that are allowing teachers to be armed. Some states are more reliant upon security or law enforcement, and of course, some states aren't really taking much proactive action at all. But this shift has happened since Sandy Hook. The shift from hide and hope, you know, hide in the corner, hide under the desk, and hope the good guys show up, the SWAT team guys and whoever show up before the bad guy gets to you. And that's just not a method. That's not a way to protect our children. It's not a way to protect our teachers. Outside of the school, when you start talking about the public space, more and more interest in active shooter programs for the workplace, for the malls, for the, you know, quote unquote gun-free zones that we have all over the country, the stadiums, theaters, amusement parks, things like that. At Endeavor, the gym that I'm a co-owner of out of Columbus, Ohio, that we've been getting a lot of attention to the active shooter response program that the team there has taken from our SARC program and developed kind of for everybody anywhere. Some of it involves firearms, but a lot of it doesn't because, you know, let's face it, most people aren't carrying firearms. And most likely these things will happen in places where it's not even legal for most people to do so. So
even if you do carry one, even if you do carry one. That's right. Hey, Rob, I need you to hold tight for me. I'm sorry to have to interrupt. We're getting ready to take a break. We will continue this conversation with Rob Pincus, PersonalDefenseNetwork.com, right after this. Don't go away.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
I'm just as good as these guys. When will I get my chance to prove it?
Your chance is now. American Marksman is a nationwide series of target shooting competitions designed to give you your big break. Think you've got what it takes to take home $50,000? Visit ammarksman.com to register today. That's ammarksman.com. American Marksman. Are you the one?
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you. Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
We need every American to take action against President Obama's next executive order by calling the number on your screen. President Obama is exercising another executive power grab, and this assault will be against your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Obama administration was unable to impose gun restrictions and confiscation through the legislative process, so now he's trying to use executive orders to go around Congress and the Constitution. Obama must be stopped now. If Obama follows through with his executive fiat now, it will lead to the loss of our Second Amendment rights by the time he leaves office. We need you to call 800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama if you believe we must stop Obama's lawless actions. Second Amendment Foundation is going to stand up to Obama, but we need you to call now and give us your opinion. Please call 1-800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama. If enough Americans stand up, we will amplify your voice and stop Obama from another assault on our Constitution.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
The fastest hour in radio lives up to its name, the fastest hour in radio every single week. Let me quickly send you over to USCCA On Air, please. Visit USCCA On Air. The promotions over there are just off the hook. Activate a USCCA membership today for your shot. Don't you love that? Pun intended there. For a chance to win today's gun, which is a Carr MK9 Elite with a manufacturer-suggested retail price of $987. Plus, entered to win one of three safes. Three grand prize winners will win one of three Pendleton Tech 75 safes. These things are $8,000 a shot. So make sure to head over to usccaonair.com. If you misspell it because you like AAR instead of on air, we got that one too. usccaonair.com. Take you to the same place. Make sure to head over there and do that. I'm talking with Rob Pincus, famed trainer, and just flat out good friend. Rob, a pleasure to have you back, brother. I'm sorry that we had to cut you off during the break. If you would, please continue about what you were talking about in response to an active shooter.
Yeah, I lose track of those breaks. They do come up fast on this hour, that's for sure. The idea that you've got to have some kind of response, the idea that you've got to be prepared to do something, is really the message we need to send to more and more people. And I think the shift happened in our culture after Sandy Hook, at least in the school system. And now, especially after San Bernardino and some of the other recent events, and we've seen it even overseas, the attacks in Paris, for example, we now are seeing more and more people that aren't involved in school systems or aren't involved in large corporate complexes think seriously about how they're going to respond if they get caught in a terrorist event, in a spree killing, in a mass shooting kind of event. We had that happen in law enforcement after Columbine. After law enforcement realized that the form a perimeter and wait for the special SWAT guys to show up wasn't the proper way to respond to someone shooting kids in a school system, the entire system changed. We went to the idea of, the first four guys will go in and form a diamond, and then the first three guys will form a triangle, or the first two guys on site. And eventually it comes down to the obvious, which is if you've got a flashy red and blue lights and a shiny badge and a gun and somebody's shooting kids, you as an individual officer need to go in there and do what you can. And now we're starting to get the message, I think too late, that if you're the guy standing there with a chair that you can pick up and stop the guy who's standing right in front of you trying to kill your friends, your family, you, kids, other people in that public space, and you can't get away, then you pick up the chair and you do the best you can. Obviously, being armed, being trained, and being prepared mentally to use a firearm is going to make you a lot more capable than picking up a chair.
Which was absolutely discussed during the seminar yesterday that I attended, in no uncertain terms. The firearm as a tool to save your life and defend others was absolutely put at the forefront of the seminar. Now, I, you know, like you said, it's a regional thing. You're not going to hear that in other areas of the country. Sadly, here you will. Not only did you hear it, but you were directed to the police department for their own training. They want to teach you. They want to educate you. If that's what you feel, if you want to go to law enforcement to get trained, they will do that for you. Not just privately, but officers will work with you. They also sent you to the National Rifle Association, where you could learn and pick up the materials necessary. So it was quite a program. And Rob, while you and I are sitting here talking, there is a story right now out on Fox News and other sites. Some Oklahoma schools display signs warning staffers could be armed. And here's the actual sign from a photograph in the news report. Attention, please be aware that certain staff members at OK Public Schools can be legally armed and may use whatever force is necessary to protect our students. To me, that sign is common sense. That sign doesn't say, don't do anything, which someone's going to ignore. It's warning you, if you choose to do it, there's more than likely going to be a response that will kill you. How much you want to bet that that's probably one of the most effective signs that you'll never see something happen in that area? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that sign's going to be a lot more effective than one with a, you know, Ghostbusters circle around some drawing of a firearm. You know, that's not going to stop the bad guy from coming in with a gun. But the bad guy may go look for a softer target if they see the sign that says the teachers are, you know, green circle, they have the gun. I think, you know, the fear has always been, well, what if there's a tragic accident with the gun? And that's, you know, what you hear from the anti-gunners and the people that are ignorant of firearms. Well, there could be an accident. Well, sure, there could be an accident. But when someone shows up with the intent to kill people, whether they're using a gun or a knife or driving a car through the playground, whatever it is, the best and most efficient way to stop them is with training and with mindset and obviously with a tool like a firearm that's going to be able to equalize that situation. And in fact, if there's multiple armed teachers, obviously overwhelmed that single crazed killer.
Absolutely correct. Sean, you have a question. You were in my ear. Go ahead and jump in and ask Rob your question.
Yeah, Rob, thank you for coming on the show. My question is, what is a soft target? I think some people might not know what exactly a soft target is.
Good question. What are we talking about?
And why criminals pick that?
That's the quote-unquote gun-free zone, right? That's the area where the bad guy is going to look around and say, well, where are there a lot of people, and where are there a lot of people that probably aren't prepared to defend themselves? You know, and that's usually what we see. Now, not always, and it would be, you know, hyperbolic to say that that's all we ever see. I mean, obviously, like the attack down in Texas on the art contest that was going on down there, that was obviously a very heavily armed and well-defended area that was attacked. So it's not exclusively gun-free zone, but more often than not, we see people going to places where they don't expect people to be armed. They don't expect people to be prepared for a response to overwhelming violence. And that's what we see in theaters, and that's what we see in schools, and that's what we see in these public spaces, government buildings, and, you know, even our military bases where our military can't be armed, and there's private security or very few armed military personnel at some of the bases where we've seen these attacks. And those are soft targets. You know, a hard target could be attacked. But if you're the bad guy sitting around thinking about what you want to achieve and what you want to accomplish, you're probably not going to choose the hardest target you can find.
Yeah, and something else to point out, Rob, something that you have discussed for many, many years, I'm a huge advocate of, and something that you and I have talked about and tried to educate as many people across the country as we can over the years, and that's preparation, avoidance, and awareness. And the first thing is preparation. And as the individual officer last night who was presenting the seminar, and he did an amazing job, I've reached out to him. And I hope to be communicating with him very, very shortly. But know your surroundings, as you just said. When you walk into a place you're unfamiliar with, do the right thing. Look for the exits. Look where they're at. You don't need to be paranoid, but understand that something bad can happen. A grease fire in the kitchen. How are you going to get out? Do you know where the exits are? If you don't see an exit, do you see something? And this was a great point that he made last night that we really haven't talked about. Where can you turn into an exit? Is there a window that you can break? Can you pound through the sheetrock? Where can you get out in the event you have to. And that's not being paranoid, Rob. That's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, just a, you know, and you do a quick look around, and honestly, you think about it, there are going to be common places. If you're in that store in the mall, well, every one of those stores has a back entry and exit way where the employees come in, where deliveries come in. It may go to the outside, it may go to a hallway, but if you don't think about that, then you're thinking, well, I came in the front of the store, I got to leave by the front of the store. But so you don't have to walk into every store in the mall and find the door. You just have to be aware and remind yourself, hey, there are alternative exits here. Right. Same thing at every restaurant. Every restaurant's going to have a door through the kitchen. Right. Every restaurant's probably going to have another door somewhere else where they take in deliveries, where the employees come and go. So you think about it, not just running by the hostess stand where the attacker might be, where he may start his attack on that group of people in the restaurant. You got to think about conceptually, where are these other exits? You don't have to, you know, ask for a floor plan every time you walk into a building.
Of course,
common sense and concept to understand where you need to go, when you need to go.
Rob, we're getting ready to end this hour of the fastest hour in radio every single day of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. You've got about 30 seconds. What do people need to know about you? Where can they find you?
PersonalDefenseNetwork.com. We get a lot of cool things coming out this year. We got the tour getting ready to start. We'll probably, you know, jump on the radio sometime towards the end of the month before I start the tour in March. I'll talk about who the sponsors are. A lot of returning names and some new names that are really cool. PersonalDefenseNetwork.com for free training articles and videos.
Rob Pincus, Personal Defense Network. Thank you, sir, for everything. Looking forward to getting that book underway. We will be communicating, and yes, you will be on Armed American Radio and the Daily Defense long before the tour starts. Wow, can't believe this week has come to a close, but that's okay because the monster broadcast invades your Super Bowl viewing pleasure. We will be filling your prescription for freedom during Super Bowl. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club, and never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you happen to find yourself. And I'll see you on the Monster Show Sunday.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.